Loud. I didn't mean it to be that loud, although it's great music. It's called Marketplace, played by Xiao Wang on a Chinese lute. And it's from an album called Orchid. I think it's very appropriate for our show tonight. The show is Sound Health. I'm your host, Sherry Edwards. Each Sunday here on BBS, we try to bring you information and ideas to support self-responsibility. We have another show like that tonight with a wonderful guest, Brandon Clayman. We know we have an astute audience that loves the truth and learning about new ways to enlighten the world. Brandon and audience, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate being here. I'm really excited, especially starting off the new year, with a great host and a fantastic show. Thank you.
Thank you. Have you ever heard this kind of music called Marketplace?
No, I haven't.
It's so appropriate for your topic of conscious commerce. What does that mean?
Conscious commerce, great question. It's a term, and it's an approach. It's a philosophy to business. And it's pretty deep. A lot of people are asking for it now, and you're seeing it emerge in certain ways. And one way is through sustainability. So I'll just start there because that seems to be a pretty hot topic. And sustainability is about really focusing in on understanding your impact on the earth itself, on the environment, on nature, and tying that into your business and your processes. And so, for example, a lot of corporations today, when they're creating products, they're going to think twice now about how their product and the manufacturing process impacts the economy, the environment, the community. And so you have, for example, Nike, who has done a lot of work to help improve their process, and they're not into the sweatshops anymore. They've actually changed their whole entire manufacturing process so that they're no longer impacting other economies and cultures and communities in negative ways. So sustainability is a part of conscious commerce. And environmental sustainability really being the key words here, focusing on our impact on the environment, on Mother Nature, on our local, national, and global communities and people. So that's one piece of conscious commerce. And I'm going to share with you a philosophy that I share with everybody because this is truly the heart of it all. And it is actually the conscious value system of conscious commerce, and it will help all the listeners really get a good idea of what conscious commerce is, what it stands for, and hopefully some of the listeners can take this information and put it into practical use into their own businesses and to where they work. So it's an acronym. I love acronyms. And this one's called WHATSO, WHATSO, WHATSO. And WHATSO in and of itself is a value. And the first one I'll start with is that. And what it means is paying attention to what is so, what is really true about your experience in business. What is happening here? And so a lot of us who are seekers and spiritual driven people, holistic, we're looking at our lives, and that seeking, that looking, that observing is the same as what is so. So those who have that perception of observation, who can really just see truth for what it is, I'd say, really valuable, because it's moving away from being deceitful and not telling the truth to getting into our honest expression of what is actually happening here. And so the what so is the first one. The second value in this philosophy of conscious commerce is wealth. And of course, because we're in business, we're here to make a profit. You know, there's obviously that motivation. There's nothing wrong with making money. It's normal. It's healthy. But I would suggest that if you focus on creating a conscious commerce business, that you put your emphasis on other motivations and other purposes, not just on profit. And so wealth is redefined through the context of conscious commerce to mean having access to all the resources and all the wealth and all of the money and everything that you ever would require to manifest your entire dream, your whole vision, the purpose of the company. It doesn't mean having infinite resources all the time. It just means having everything that you'll ever require in order to get to either the next step, to purchase that new location, that warehouse, the new technology, whatever you might need to hire the new employee, whatever you might need to get you to the next step or the next few steps in manifesting your vision or your goals. It also means, and this is the bigger piece, that wealth means not having access or power over people, because that clearly is not empowering, and it's a part of our past. You know, we're starting to see a lot more corporations today opening up and open-door policies, and they're actually giving people a lot more opportunity and sharing some power. And that's really what it's about. It's about not having power over people or over resources, or it's not having ownership over anything or anyone. And that's an old way of thinking, and conscious commerce is a new way of thinking, and it's about embracing our evolving economy, and specifically about looking at wealth in a different way. Okay, if you're in alignment with your passion, then it's totally okay to have profit in your company, but don't make the purpose of being in business just on profit. So I'm going to move along here. The next value is happiness. And happiness is clearly what all of us are after. You know, at the end of the day, are you happy? Yes or no? Can you go to sleep feeling good inside, feeling complete, feeling like, wow, you know what, I did everything I could do today, and it was in perfect alignment with my ultimate dream, my greatest destiny, my deepest desires, and does it make me happy? Happiness is a choice. Nothing outside of us can really affect our inner state of being unless you allow it to, of course, but ultimately inside it's a choice. And I believe that many of us would love to be happy all the time. And sometimes we get stressed out. Many of us live in North America. We get very busy. We get caught up. Lots of emails, phone calls, and everything. And sometimes we lose sight of the big picture. And that's, you know, the big picture is where our happiness comes in, because originally we got into business with a profound inspiration. Hopefully it was something really inspiring, motivating, or something that grabbed your attention with some sort of synchronicity. Don't forget that. Because that is truly a large part of conscious commerce, is to remember why you're doing what you're doing and to be happy. And so that's pretty self-explanatory. The next one's awareness. And awareness is, I would actually like to say awareness is having access to the information, all the information required to making the highest possible choices about your company. And awareness is also a spiritual term. You know, a lot of us we're aware of awareness. And awareness is, I would say, it's more of an intuitive energy. And the future of business is also about embracing and incorporating, integrating, and merging the energies of consciousness and commerce into one. Consciousness is like awareness. And so when we're in business, we're here to make informed decisions. And those decisions are sometimes, we don't always make decisions. I know I don't always make decisions based on just like give me the bottom line, tell me the numbers, you know, and making business decisions off that. I calculate my business decisions also off of intuition or symbolic insight. Okay, and symbolic insight is when you can look at, for example, a synchronicity. A synchronicity is something magical that happens to you that has specific meaning to you in your life. And we'll talk about that later on. But for now, just recognize that there's meaning involved in your business decision. There's a purpose behind it. There's something deeper. Okay? And you're incorporating intuition in that process. The T stands for transparency. And this is another big one that we're starting to see everywhere around the world. Lots of corporations are starting to really move into the energy of being transparent. A lot of consumers are demanding that corporations give us the truth. Tell us what is really going on here. We want to know the numbers. We want to know what's going on behind the scenes. And so transparency has several different meanings behind it. One of them is simply reporting on what is true about the corporation or the business's numbers, financial transparency. So having financial transparency is when we're, you know, doing a financial report and you know, the numbers that are actually being reported, the number of sales or the net profit that was earned in a certain quarter is actually true. Okay? And I'm giving all of you this information in just a simple, very simple, easy, digestible way to understand what I'm saying without getting too complex. But accountants are going through a transition themselves because the governments are now requesting more reports and more red tape related to reporting on numbers, you know, financial statements, balance sheets, income statements, profit loss statements, and all of those things. Corporations are now reporting much more about what is true about corporations. And the next piece about transparency is about the opportunities that exist inside of corporations. How many times have you heard that, you know, if there's a president or a CEO or a director or VP, somebody in the corporation, I refer to corporations a lot because we're in North America, it's a huge economy, and most of it's powered by corporations. So it's easy to give examples from them. But you have a simple scenario where there's a VP who has the opportunity to hire somebody to be, you know, the VP of sales. And instead of that person openly sharing the opportunity to the entire corporation and even job banks and publicly advertising this opportunity, what has been traditionally happening, what's happened is that person who's responsible for the hiring will not share the opportunity openly with everyone else. Instead, what they're going to do is they're going to pick the person who they've been working with, who they're friends with, who they're in with, you know, who they're in bed with, and give them the opportunity first. Now, that's clearly not transparent. And that is not sharing an opportunity at all. It's sharing with one person. It's being totally exclusive. And so the future of our economy and the future of corporations, the future of the way businesses will be and are starting to already emerge, is they'll openly share opportunities with everybody. And not just opportunities, but information. So when there's, for example, a big job hiring going on, or for example, if there's a big layoff happening, instead of the person who's going to get laid off finds out, you know, 1 week before it actually happens, they might even find out a couple of months before it happens because that's when the original decision was made. And so that person can properly plan and figure out their next, you know, few steps that they're going to do in their lives. So transparency is very, very big. There's an organization called Transparency International that has been created specifically to report on corporations, to help to assist in helping them become more transparent and improving the processes and the reporting policies and all those things internally to help them in their business journeys. Okay, so we've covered what. Now we have so. We've done S. S was for sustainability. So we've covered that. And just briefly to put it into the context here, sustainability is, of course, when we're in business, we're simply calculating the environment and the environmental impacts and the consequences we have on the economy. When corporations today pull together the pricing for a product, they don't put into the cost, they don't calculate the environment. They just calculate the economic benefits. They don't put in, well, it's going to cost, you know, $1 billion to remove all the chemicals from manufacturing this particular, you know, T-shirt. They don't incorporate that into the bottom line. And if they did, then we would see that, well, A, they'd be honoring and respecting and incorporating the environment into their business transactions. Even though it would probably increase the price, we would probably be more happy paying more, knowing that it's respecting the environment. So sustainability is also about implementing recycling programs and other things like that. And we'll get into some more practical examples about all of these different things, hopefully, later on in the show. The last value in this particular philosophy of conscious commerce is oneness. And it is probably the most difficult one to digest, to truly comprehend and understand, and embrace it, and then practice it. Because all of those other values are based on this one. It doesn't mean this one's more important, because they're all of equal value, and they all have equal contribution to the whole entire philosophy of conscious commerce. But this one could change everything overnight. And it really means a lot to me, and I do everything I can to implement it. So oneness is very simple. We are all a one. There's only one of us. That's the universal truth. Some of you may have read books that say that. And when we're inside of our business world, it's important to recognize that your customers, your suppliers, your vendors, your employees, your manager, whoever is involved, we're all a part of the same energy, same company, same purpose that is within the context of business. That we're all one. And you know, I really believe that if corporations embrace this type of energy and this approach and this philosophy, specifically of this oneness, that we wouldn't be seeing so much competition or aggressive activity in the marketplace. We wouldn't be seeing people hurting each other, you know, through hostile takeovers, mergers, and acquisitions that go on a daily basis. Microsoft buys companies every day. Maybe not every single day, but they're thinking about it, or they're looking at it, they're profiling other opportunities, and they do purchase many, many companies throughout the year. Some of those purchases are totally hostile in a way that, you know, Microsoft, and I can bring some facts into this, you know, if we just do some searches on Google, it's not just Microsoft, there's a lot of corporations. I'm safer to say that there's many corporations in the world today that just act aggressively and without recognizing that they're connected in some way, shape, or form to that person, place, or thing. And so they fail to realize their unique connection, their unique oneness, and so they're operating in a way that would be separated or divorced from the other party. And it creates a lot of tension. It creates a lot of stress. A lot of the wars and the challenges and issues that we're dealing with globally outside of the economy are based on simply that, that people believe that we're not one. And it's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. And it's going to stop. Eventually it will. And eventually many of us will recognize and realize that in ourselves that we're all one. We're all one, meaning we're all one mind, body, and spirit. And then looking at it even further, we're one family. We're one community. You know, we're one company, we're one country, we're one continent.
Is this a management style unto itself, or is this a behavior that managers should embrace?
It's both. So you've got the beliefs. The belief would be, or the attitudes would be, you know, as a manager, okay, we're all one here. It's one team. And that one team is integrated with the one division. The one division's incorporated inside of the one company. Actually, the Japanese take on this approach. It's a management style where they embrace and they see everybody who's working with them as one. It's one family. They see everybody as a family member. And they treat you that way. And to them, family values are really important.
Does this work with all types of businesses? With every business you can think of?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You can't. Even salespeople, when I worked at IBM Corporation, it only will work whoever is willing to embrace it. It works. It works both ways. You know, if you look at corporations, they have their visions, their goals, and their targets, and their intent is to achieve their vision, their goals, and targets. So however they get there, I don't think they really care. It's just whatever works. So if they can get there sooner and faster by embracing the energy of oneness in their corporation, not just oneness, but conscious commerce, then go for it. A lot of people don't, they're not attached to the how. It's just help me get there.
It sounds like people could use this in their personal lives, too, not necessarily have to put it in a business framework.
It all starts with personal, even when you're in work. It's an internal question. Am I acting inside of oneness, or am I acting outside of it? If you want to go even deeper, Sherry, you could say, are you acting within love or fear? And I'm sure you've said that 1,000 times on the show. You know, that there's two ultimate questions in life. You know, is it fear that I'm acting out of, or is it love?
There's a big component of money that a lot of people are acting out of. We're going to be taking calls tonight. The toll-free number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. In Canada, 888-815-9756. And there's a direct line, 530-876-3222. I know that's a lot of numbers to remember. Just jump on bbsradio.com and the numbers are listed there. We're broadcasting from Station 1 this evening. And, of course, you can get us at radio@vocalprofiling.com. We already have 3 questions up on our board here. Our audience just likes to do this from the Internet. So some of them use their phone lines to listen to the show, so they can't really use their phone to call us. So I think that's why they did part of it that way. How'd you come up with this idea of conscious commerce? Why do you think it's needed?
Okay, so I came up with the idea. First of all, January 2nd, 2004 was the date that I created Conscious Commerce, the company. So we just had our 4th year anniversary party, and the number 4 is really important to us in this business, and we'll talk a little bit about spirituality and how that. I'll get to that in just a second. When I'd say about 16 years ago, I had an awakening. It was my spiritual awakening experience, and I was really young at the time. I was 15, 16 years old, and I was still in high school. And during those times, I was always thinking about how can I create a company? I want to be a small business owner. I didn't necessarily want to be a professional like my father, who is an accountant or a lawyer or a doctor or a dentist. I wanted to be something that was a little different or someone who was a little different. So I always knew I was going to create a company, and I did. I ended up creating a few. And as I moved along, what I realized, the theme behind any entrepreneur is freedom. Freedom is the biggest, number one, most important theme or underlying energy inside of their business experience. And that is deeply tied into spirituality in many ways. And so 4 years ago, after I resigned or quit IBM Corporation, I actually went to go work for them for a couple of years as a manager. And they taught me something, and it was really important. They taught me a specific management style or model. And I saw that model, and I realized, okay, that's very valuable. It was a way to manage your teams, your company, and move forward. And after I left, I went sort of into my alchemist sort of mind frame, and the magician in me started to create. And what I came up with was the One Solution. And the One Solution is this very specific consulting process designed to, it's literally the practice of conscious commerce. So I just share with you the philosophy, and it's the practice of conscious commerce. And the One Solution, One stands, means, it's another acronym, it stands for Opportunity Now Emerging. And that's kind of the mindset I want my clients to work with when I'm working with them. And so we have, there's seven key areas to the one solution. And for anybody who knows the chakra systems, this is how this ties into the personal experience. As I went through my spiritual transformation, I started to read books from all walks of life. And one of the focus areas was the chakra system, which is based on an ancient Hindu religion that's based on Ayurvedic medicine. And there's particular energy centers in our body. There's seven key areas, and they're all different colors. They all connect to different muscles and body parts, and they all have different powers, different energies and properties and characteristics and attributes. And those seven chakras synchronistically merged in with this particular management model that I was taught, and then I just blended the two and innovated and kind of co-created my own version of it. So I call it the One Solution. And this is this approach that I work with clients one-on-one over the phone, and we go through the process of creating their own conscious commerce company and using this particular philosophy. And there's seven specific areas. I can tell you about those areas if you want.
Absolutely. I was just letting you talk because you're doing a great job.
Okay, great. Well, here, I'll go through the just seven different areas. And this is, so I gave you, and I'm a very practical person. You know, it's as deep as all of us can be, what value is that if it can't be put into practice on a regular basis?
Mm-hmm.
It's a waste of wonderful wisdom if you can't do anything with it. So the One Solution has seven key areas. I start with the heart, which is the conscious values. That's the heart chakra, or the heart of your company, or the emotional energy of your business, is your conscious values. And I just shared with you what the conscious values are for conscious commerce, which is the WHATSO, the acronym WHATSO. Now we had WHATSO, wealth, happiness, awareness, transparency, sustainability, and oneness. What we do one-on-one is work to create your own set of values that are some sort of derivative or stem from the philosophy of conscious commerce. In some way, shape, or form, I help my clients to create their own value system that's not the same, but it's got to have diversity and it's got to be different, unique to their own particular business and to what they believe in. So then after we do the values, the values is like the bridge of the company. It's where people make decisions from, okay? And you're either attracting that type of experience in your life on both levels. You're going to either attract happiness or you're going to attract sadness. Both of them play a role, okay, as you move along. And, like, for example, I'll either attract oneness or separation. And it's good because as you get to know yourself more in business, you get clearer and clearer and clearer about your decision-making process. It becomes even faster. So I'll go through the rest of the different areas of the One Solution. I think it's the most fascinating system on earth. It's within business. I've done a lot of research and looked at other people's systems and how they do business, and the greatest of the greats, they're not even doing what I'm doing. And I'm not saying that I'm better. It's just another way. And I think for me, it works really well. And for my clients, they seem to be very happy with the results that they're getting. So we have, remember the purpose of conscious commerce is this, to merge consciousness with commerce into one. So that's the purpose of my company. It's to merge those two energies into one. And another area of the One Solution is remembering. Okay, remembering is the spiritual component. It's the soul of your company, and I believe that every business has a soul, just like every human has a soul. Because if you take all the humans that work, or all the people that work inside of the company, then collectively they're creating an energy. Whatever that energy is the soul of the company. And so there's a way to map that out. There's a way to identify what that is through archetypes. And the energy of an archetype is sort of an impression or expression of the essence of the energy of a company. And so the remembering process is a sacred ritual that I've created, and I facilitate it. And what we do is we go through a variety of different divination systems to pick and choose what we feel is a really good fit for being the soul of the company. And I'll give you some examples. Some of the archetypes or the soul essence, I call it the soul evolution team, the set for conscious commerce, is the emperor or the king and the hermit. And these are from the system Tarot, the Tarot system. I'm sure many of you are familiar with what that is. Cher, are you aware of the Tarot system? Okay, good. So what I did was I figured out, okay, well, what's the energy of conscious? It's the hermit. What's the energy of commerce? It's the king or the emperor. And ideally what you'd want, for me, what I want in life, is I want to see kings and leaders and queens of every company and every corporation, every country, making the most wisest decisions that serve the greatest purpose and people. So that, again, tying back into the purpose of conscious commerce, you merge consciousness with commerce into one, it's like merging the wisdom of the wise man with the commerce or the business energy of a king. And you ultimately get the greatest results out of that. And so that's one of the archetypes, or two of the archetypes in my company. I also use the dragonfly. The dragonfly is an animal. So I've incorporated sacred animal powers, tarot. I've incorporated numerology, astrology. Capricorn is the company, like using the energy of Capricorn through the zodiac. So you just basically, as we do for ourselves, you know, figure out who we are. Like everyone has a Chinese horoscope or zodiac. There's, you know, astrology. There's all of these different systems. And pick and choose the ones that you believe in, wherever they may come from, wherever they originate from. It doesn't matter.
There's a lot of Capricorn energy in your voice. I'm filming what you're doing and looking at it on one of our computer programs, and the note of A is probably five times as high as any other note, and that means management. It's also a Capricorn energy.
So there you go. I'm expressing, although personally I'm a Libra, within the context of business, I change.
Well, the relationship of that is it's an outside influence or push at you. I'm just doing vocal profiling on your voice, and I was just amazed when we first started how much of your energy is in the note of A. It's spirituality, and it's management, it's the eyes, you know, seeing things, and you're using all of these analogies that are coming up in your report.
I'm loving that. Thanks for sharing, Sherry. It's let me know later on what I'm showing up as.
I'll send it to you. I'm just fascinated by what you're saying. We're on remembering. I have a dozen questions here, and there's seven emails came in with questions now.
Okay, I'm going to speed. Well, we can take questions. Let's be dynamic. Let's take on some questions as we move along. Or if you want me to finish the one solution, I can do that. It's up to you.
Yeah, let's finish the one solution so we can.
Okay, so remembering is done. That's the, and we did the heart, now we did the soul. Okay, now we're going to move along. The next step is inspiring insight. So after you've chosen 7 or 10 archetypes that you really deeply align with, what we need to do is somehow find a way to funnel that energy into a more focused intent. And inspiring insight is the same as or equal to a company's vision. And I've changed it to inspiring insight deliberately because the new corporations and companies of the future, even people, are going to be deeply and profoundly inspired by their own insight and their dreams. This is about the dream. And so what I do with clients is we actually go through a process where we create a story for your company. Martin Luther King Jr., you know, I have a dream, you know, and he expressed that with great detail and massive passion and inspiration. And there's a lot of people around the world who have done the same thing and who continue to. And what we all need to do as individuals, as just the everyone, okay? We're all as inspiring, creative, and powerful as the most, as who we perceive currently as being the most powerful on the planet. And so it's really about taking responsibility, self-responsibility for your own greatest gifts and powers, and developing a dream that you're deeply in love with. So that when you do, so that you don't have depression when you wake up in the morning. When you wake up, once you have awakened and you remember, because you've looked at your archetypes and they remind you, I went and bought a little king on a horse. I'm holding it in my hand, and I got a little dragonfly here. They remind me of why I'm in business, and it keeps me focused, keeps me in alignment, so that when I'm reading the vision or the inspiring insight, it gets me even deeper engulfed, involved, and experienced in it or feeling it. And so we move along the process here. We've just, you know, mapped out the vision or the inspiring insight. And it goes even further now. We need to funnel even further to, at the end of the day, what exactly is the purpose of your business? Not your mission statement. Mission is more like military-mindedness, and that's old thinking. Let's talk about purpose. You know, what is the purpose? What is your passion? And how are you going to make profits? I did a talk on that in Toronto a couple months ago. It was purpose plus passion equals profits. And the purpose of conscious commerce is to merge consciousness with commerce into one. It's simple. It's easy to remember. And that's specifically what you would tell a person when you're meeting them for the first time, or you're in a business networking situation, or you're going to explain to them a little bit about your company. You tell them your purpose. Hopefully it will inspire them. If they want to learn more, then you can tell them a little bit or excerpts out of your story or out of your inspiring insight. And if it gets even deeper, share with them some of the values and some of the archetypes of your company, some of the deeper inspirations, what's behind the scenes. So as we move along, we've just covered basically the etheric body or the non-physical body of your company. Now we're going to look at the actual, the mind of your business, or the ego, the mind or the ego, okay? This is our solar plexus. It's the yellow energy, it's fire, firepower. And what I've called it goals, okay? It's pretty simple. Goals are what we hold in our minds. You know, it's a short-term achievement. It's, you know, what's going to happen the next 3 months and the next 6 months, 9 months at most, okay? So goals are the tangible outcomes, the results. They're the things that you can count, the logic that, you know, it's what happens after you apply a certain amount of action or activity, and then you receive a certain outcome. And the outcome, hopefully, is the achievement of a goal. And now the way the system works is, if you achieve all your goals, you'll manifest your inspiring insight. Okay, it's that simple. And by the way, one thing I didn't mention, which ties into the value of wealth, I was telling everybody that wealth, the new definition of it, is when you create, having access to all the resources required to manifesting your inspiring insight, your ultimate dream. Okay, everything related to creating the vision of your business. Well, the goals, if you achieve all your goals and you manifest your inspiring insight, then you've completed your business journey. You've completed that purpose. So when we work together, we scope it out. Instead of saying, like, my company is going to be around for 500 years, you'd say, well, my company, and I work with a lot of small businesses, you say, my company is going to be available or around for the next 25 years. If that's what you're going to do, or the next 15 years, or 35 years. So we scope it all out, and then we backtrack, and we create goals. There could be 20 goals that are created that all integrate and map in nicely to your whole system. And things change. Everything changes, right? But the idea is that now you've got this in front of you, and you're able to manage it and change it, update it, and grow with it. So once you've achieved all your goals, you'll manifest your vision. The next step after goals is your solution. And this is a different approach. A lot of corporations, big enterprise businesses, look, they understand this, and it's really, really helpful for small businesses to understand the difference between a service, a product, and or a solution. And I'll just say very briefly or quickly that a solution is when you integrate a combined energy of products and services into one where you end up with a solution. So, for example, if you're a healthcare practitioner, and let's say you have multiple modalities. You've got, you know, reflexology, Reiki, and psychotherapy. Three typical modalities. Well, if you walk up to a new client and you tell them that you do all three of these different things, they're going to get confused. They're all new anyways. They're all holistic. So it's a different type of approach and service. But if you walk up to the client and say to them, well, I'm offering a holistic healthcare service, it's a little different. And so what you would do is you would do an assessment with them, figure out what they would need most, and then build them a healthcare plan to help them move along the process where maybe for the first 5 weeks it's just psychotherapy. Then the next few weeks after that you do some body work. But the idea is that you have a solution that you're offering them that combines both products and services. You might give them a book to read that's a product that integrates into your overall solution. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a different way to do business, and I'd say it's where you really put the relationship with you and the client is really the most valuable piece. So how do you grow and expand and make it deeper is by introducing a solution rather than just a product.
Is that the last one?
The last one is opportunity now emerging. It's the last step. Okay. It stands for one. And in that, what we do is the structure of the company, it's the physical body of it. And we want you to, in that process, create your Master Action Plan. Another acronym is called MAP, Master Action Plan. The Master Action Plan integrates in with your goals, and your goals integrate in with your inspiring insight. Once you have your Master Action Plan, then you can, you know, get to work, get moving, get things done, create activity. There's also other things that we do in that area, like create your mantra for your company. We do your discipline, your weekly schedule. I talk to my clients a lot about what are you prepared to do on a daily basis to get yourself ready for work, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. So we do a little bit of coaching, you know, and consulting combined into this process. And that's the one solution. And when people go through that, it takes about 7 to 9 weeks. When people go through this process, they come out of it being what I would call organizationally clear. They have clarity they've never had before. Awareness that they've never had before. Their focus has expanded, and their intentional energy, the law of attraction is a theme throughout the whole system. So they really get to understand how to clearly use that universal law and put it into real practice into their own business.
We have so many good questions, but I also want to get people in touch with you. Have you written a book or anything about this?
I'm working on a book right now. It's called The Seven Spiritual Secrets to Selling Your Solution. It's going to be an e-media book, and because I think that's just, for me, a great way to distribute your work. That will be ready probably in the second quarter of 2008. I have a website, an easy one to remember for everybody to get to. Do you want me to let everybody know?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. It's cc94.com. CC94.com stands for Conscious Commerce, 9 and 4. Those are the numbers of my company, numbers 9 and 4. The 9 is the hermit, the 4 is the emperor. CC94.com. And when you get there, you'll see there's a little audio and there's a picture of me. I'm getting new pictures taken, actually. Those are a little bit outdated, but anyways. And there's an opportunity for you to request one insight key from me. It's a free gift. And if you have a question about your business or, you know, what career path to take or anything, just go ahead and fill out the form, and that's how you can contact me. It'll go straight to my inbox.
And the name of your book coming out, Seven Spiritual Solutions to what?
Seven Spiritual Secrets to Selling Your Solution.
To Selling Your Solution. Okay. Do you do a newsletter, seminars, workshops?
Yeah, I do. I've got a workshop coming up in Calgary. This is going to be a two-day workshop. It's called the One Workshop. And that's actually in April, April 5th through the 6th. And all of this information you can get to at my website if you get to cc94.com. And it's all on the home page. There's going to be more workshops planned in 2008. I've been so busy, honestly. I've been incredibly busy with the day-to-day activities of my companies that it's been challenging to actually get out into the world and go and deliver the workshops and the public speaking engagements. And I'll be doing more of it this year because I'm growing and hiring more people. So that's a good sign.
If someone comes to your workshop, what can they expect? Should they just bring their business plan with them, or what do they do?
What we're going to do in this two-day workshop is it's a group environment where we're going to be doing the entire one solution that normally takes 9 weeks. We're going to do it's an intensive. We're going to do it in 2 days, and it's going to be for a relatively small group of people. I'm not expecting, you know, a couple hundred. It wouldn't be feasible for us to do it that way. So we're going to develop the seven parts of the one solution we're going to do in these 2 days. So you'll walk away with your soul evolution team, your inspiring insight, your purpose, your values, your goals, your solution, and one. And we're going to do it collaboratively, and it's going to be a two-day process. The fee is $376. It's pretty reasonable. And it's going to happen during 2 days.
And they can sign up for this on your workshop through the cc94.com.
Once you get to cc94.com, you can that'll get you to the website, and then from there you can get to the homepage, and on the homepage you'll see where you can register for the workshop. The workshop is actually going to be at Primacy Holistic Living Institute here in Calgary. It's a very big institute for holistic healthcare, one of my clients, and you can sign up online, pay by credit card, get yourself registered, and come out to Calgary.
Okay, you know, I've been reading these emails that have come in, and several of them have the same theme. Why haven't we been doing business like this forever? It seems like a good thing.
Great question. You know, and it is a good thing. It's a great thing. And we are going to. We are starting to. We're going to, and it's happening. We're embracing the new economy. Right now, the year 2008, this is going to be a massive year. I call it evolutionary expansion as like my theme for my company. And then personally, it's 2008. It's a year to celebrate and co-create. So
we only have about 5 minutes left. Let's see how many of these questions we can get in. Hi, Brandon. Heard you on the show tonight. I really believe in what my company does and think it will honestly be something that will be a positive influence on our society. But being successful always seems to be tied to making a profit. How do I get the message out there without seeming greedy? This is an honest, genuine business, and I want to convey that to the audience.
Great question. It's called passion. Put your passion into practice in the most powerful possible way that you know how to do. Nobody's going to question you if you're massively involved in the energy of passion because it's contagious. And so that's where you can get safety, and it's kind of like it's a place for you to feel protected in one way because, hey, if you know you're doing your best work in life and it's driven by the energy of passion, and of course it's a positive pursuit and purpose, then don't worry about it. Let it all fall into place. They say when you're doing your greatest work in life, you're not working at all. And that's where we really, where the energy of happiness is.
And it's fun. Here's another question. I have to tell you, I'm fed up with all these late-night infomercials. I can't believe I see or hear. I can't see what I believe or see on TV these days. How do I know what's the real thing? I can't seem to trust anyone. I have been so let down by so many fad diets, exercise machines, and cleaning products.
Yeah, that's a good one. Good question. And back to my philosophy. That's what I use. I use the what I would use in that situation is awareness. Okay, and I would use some intuition. I would check in. If you're really serious about something, if you really, for example, if it's a diet program on TV, and you're thinking about doing this and you want to make a major commitment to yourself and transform, well, then do some inner work before you actually make the commitment. Don't make the decision on some sort of spontaneity or spontaneous energy. Like, if you really are going to go the distance here and lose the weight and make the transformation happen, take a few extra seconds before you make that final decision and check in with yourself. Check in meaning really, truly ask yourself that great, deep question, you know, is this for me? And then look for signs. Look for synchronicities and symbolic messages that happen to you.
Also the issue of, am I giving my self-responsibility over to this pill when I really should be doing something about my weight from inside me?
Perfect. That's exactly. Exactly.
I can't decide which ones to read here. There's a couple that I think might be out of your bailiwick, but I'll do it anyway. What economic sense does it make for the consumer, for the government to support sugar tariffs when a lack of tariffs would lower the price for all of us sugar consumers? I'm tired of this government interference. I'm voting for Ron Paul, but how can I put this into practice? I guess they're tired of the government interfering with what we eat. We got a couple more questions about things you eat, too, and one about Monsanto. I mean, these questions are all over the board, but...
Yeah, there's a lot of red tape around that. In Canada, where I'm living, it's, you know, to get a product in here, you wouldn't believe the process involved. The restrictions are unbelievable to allow a particular product to... Canadians are generally conservative. If you're serious about change and you want to do something about it, create a petition. Do something. Get in touch with your government. If you want a product in your country or you want them to do something about it, get active. You know, don't make a career out of it, but there is change. It's not that governments are all top down.
Now, there's another question here sort of like this. How do we tell which businesses have consciousness commerce? Is there some 1, 2, 3 that they can look at and sort of stay away from the businesses that aren't good?
There are some guides out there, a lot of different guides that you can go to and websites that have particular reports on which companies are safe to buy certain products from, and that might be a good thing for me to add on a resource list on my website. I've got a book that gives you a list of all the healthy companies based on a certain criteria. But, you know, it's just do your research. A lot of the work I do is just before I even create a new client, I actually find out as much as I can about that opportunity now emerging, find out about who they are, what they do, and all of that kind of stuff.
Well, there's a lot more questions here. I'll have Heather send them on over to you.
Thank you.
It's been great having you here. Give your website again so people can get in touch with you.
Sure. The website to contact me or to request one insight key for free is www.cc94.com. That's cc94.com.
Thank you, Brandon, for being with us. And for our audience, remember to tune in on Thursday at 6 Pacific Time and 9 Eastern for another session with Vocal Profiling Live. We did Romney's vocal print last week. We'll be doing Obama and Huckabee this week. We have some of these vocal profiles already posted, and Brandon, I'll send you yours. And we maybe end up doing your voice online.
Beautiful. Sherry, thank you so much. I appreciate this opportunity. And Happy New Year to everybody. And that's it.
You are welcome. We're probably going to have a new year again. Bye now.
Bye.